Get all the news you need.
104.7 Triple M.
Hello, Adelaide.
No one knows Adelaide like these guys. Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dietz and Loz.
Overnight news.
Well, all the news headlines were saying shark attack again yesterday down at West Beach, but ended up just being a family out doing a bit of shark fishing.
I was pretty worried that the shark wasn't going to let go and that I could see fat sort of on either side of its teeth from his leg. I was pretty scared, actually.
His father, Michael, using his bare hands to free his teenage son.
And I reached in, grabbed its mouth, pulled its mouth open, and it let go. He let go of the shark and it fell into the water.
Yeah, it's a dad and a few kids out doing their shark fishing, which, you know, is not unusual, but with young kids in the boat, it is a little bit unusual. And they caught a 6-foot white pointer, pulled it in, and it ended up latching onto his leg, and his dad pulled it apart.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Is anyone very surprised that the shark bit the leg when it was in the boat? Anyone at all?
Not really, but they do. Fish can look dead 1 minute, and then you go and play with them, and then they find a second one.
Oh, they play dead.
They do a bit.
I think I'd have to have the funeral for the shark before
I wouldn't be going anywhere near its head. Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, the kid wasn't too worried about it. He wanted to go fishing again today.
Okay.
Dad said, maybe not, young fella. You got a few stitches.
Loz, tell us about the Crown and Anchor.
Well, Crown and Anchor, they've released what's pretty much the plans for it. People have been up in arms about the fact that they're going to be replacing it with a high-rise building and student accommodation. And
700 students.
Yeah, because it is such an institution for live music, and the damage I've done there myself. I mean, plenty of people with memories or lack thereof memories, if you know what I mean, at that
is
pub.
Is it a profitable pub, is it a question I would ask?
I would find it hard to believe that it wasn't, because the place goes off, absolutely heaving. So
why is he selling it then?
I'm sure that there's money to be made in other ways, and people don't do things that don't make sense for them financially,
no,
I guess.
Exactly.
But they've basically said, look, it's just going to be a cafe now at the bottom of the building. Mm. And I don't know how many times I'll have to go over the place with Dead Old before they're allowed to serve coffee in there. But I feel like there'll be some old ghosts rattling around in that building for a long while.
A few sessions, that's over the years.
Yeah,
there's obviously Adelaide's getting bigger. We've got more students coming. We've got more people coming to Adelaide as well. And as a result, they're going to rezone 40 hectares of land, Elizabeth South, Smithfield area, in behind the Munoparra Shopping Centre. And you probably wouldn't even know this is land is there unless you go behind the Munoparra Shopping Centre. But that's 40 hectares, a huge parcel of dirt, and they're going to rezone it. They reckon there's going to be room for about 8,000 or 9,000 people, up to 3,000 dwellings. So another.
Who's building it?
Don't know. I haven't got that far yet. They haven't even rezoned the land.
Yeah.
But it's a big parcel of dirt right in the middle of our northern suburbs.
Yeah, we are spreading, building many, many homes north and south. Hey, I'm a Celebrity. Get Me Out of Here, the finale last night on Channel 10. Sky Wheatley won it, beat Tristan McManus. My question, were there any celebrities in I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here?
No.
Who the hell is Sky Wheatley and Tristan McManus?
I couldn't answer you that question.
I think Tristan McManus was on Dancing with the Stars. I'm not very good at this
stuff. As a dancer or as a celebrity?
An audience member?
I don't rightly know.
This is unbelievable.
You know what? I did watch one episode, and all I can say is someone needs to check on that Callum bloke from the UK. He is a sweetheart, but he is the dumbest man I have ever. No, I'm not joking. They had to explain what cousins and aunties and uncles were. He's like, right, so what's a cousin then?
Oh, no.
He didn't know what a cousin was.
He didn't understand. He's like, okay, so how does it work? He's like, is my uncle my dad? Like, he could not figure it out. And people were like, oh, is he okay? Like, what's actually happening here? But, yeah, it was a I don't know any of them either, Dits, but I think that's our fault. I don't think it's their fault. I think they're probably a little bit famous and we just don't pay attention.
Don't know about
Dits, are you trying to make a case for going on there again?
No, I'm just saying. I thought a show called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here would have had celebrities on it.
Okay.
How mistaken was I?
On Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Loz.
Did you learn something?
What did we learn?
Yeah, I didn't realise this. I might be just late to the news here. I'm sure lots of people out there would know about Woody Harrison's dad. I didn't realise He was a hitman for in the organised crime sector in the in the States, and admitted to being involved in dozens of murders, killed a judge, and it's not a usual you know, thing to see or hear about. But yeah, no. So that's a bit of an interesting one for me.
Have you heard the rumour that? That him and Matthew McConaughey could be brothers.
Yeah, well, the same. Yeah, I'd started doing a bit of Googling on him, and yeah, that's what they said. The mother
had an affair with that hitman. Yeah.
But they haven't done a DNA test. So.
No, but they look alike and they talk alike.
Do they?
They do.
They look alike.
There's certain parts of their face when you see them next to each other.
There's something there,
there's
isn't
something
there?
There's something there, and they talk alike, and they. There's something
one
there.
One talks really slow and the other one goes, all right, all right.
Yeah, well, they both talk.
You reckon they talk the same?
Yeah, they've got something. Yeah, they got something. What did I learn? I learned that, you know how they say you need like between 6 and 8 hours sleep a night, blah, blah, blah. Those studies were only done on men, apparently. So they only just realised that women actually need more sleep
women
than
sleep
men.
Women sleep too.
Oh, come on, Loz. What do you need more?
Just the science that I'm going by.
Just those experts.
Is that why you got here late this morning?
No. Oh, because I was ironing, actually, which is not a joke. I actually had to iron my jacket. Apparently, we need approximately half an hour to an hour more sleep than men a night, and apparently it increases our risk of disease like type 2 diabetes, diabetes, heart disease. Why? Just, I don't know.
Come on, let's get the science out.
Something to do with estrogen level fluctuations during the night. There's all science.
Just the way your body works.
Just the way the body
works. Just needs an extra hour.
Yes, but I think in most houses, women get less sleep than men. So
really?
Yeah.
What's the science behind that?
Baby's crying.
You don't reckon we share the workload?
How did we get here? Oh, yeah, no, Jits, it's absolutely 50-50
you
always in every house.
Jits, didn't you?
Yeah, you were getting up you doing all up. Of that.
Yeah,
I've just been on holidays, obviously, but my brother is on holiday as well at the moment in UK and travelling around Britain and whatever. Anyway, and I shared this with Loz a few weeks ago when it happened. He sent me through a photo of a town. He arrived in this town and the sign of the town as he was driving in is called Muff. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this can't be right. So the O'Callaghans, Loz, her family, actually, Loz verified. She goes, yeah, I've heard of it. And yeah, it's true. So I've looked it up. And M-U-F-F, Muff, that is the name of the town.
Right.
Please don't answer this question out loud on air, but just join the dots in your own mind and come up with an answer if you can, because I don't want to get thrown off air. But the first morning, my brother was sitting out, because it's summer over there, and he's enjoying a coffee, and there's a river in this town of
Muff.
Yeah,
there is, yeah.
And there he noticed some people with snorkeling apparatus and goggles and flippers.
Oh, no.
And they were jumping in to the river in Muff.
Yeah.
And he said that they had a club of four people that partake in this activity. And he said to me, he said, what do you think this club would be called? And I said, I can only imagine.
NDC.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It does what it says on the tin. Let's just put it that way. Yeah.
This is so. What I learnt over my break is that in the town of Muff,
there's a club.
There's a club.
There is a club.
And you may want to join that club, but I'd leave it up to you. But this is true.
Celebrities.
Got a bit of celebrity news for you.
Influencers.
Instagram, Triple M Adelaide page, whatever that means.
He's got his ear to the ground.
It'll be downloaded, uploaded. What do you do?
It's time for Chris Dittmar's
OMG.
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 Celebrity news. Okay, I just want to back over this. So I mentioned it earlier this morning, but I'm a Celebrity. Get Me Out of Here on Channel 10 last night, the finale, and they announced the winner.
The winner of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here 2024. Is
it's Scott!
All right, so clearly a prerequisite for being on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out Here is you don't have to be a celebrity. Who the hell is Skye Wheatley?
I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
And I'm not trying to be rude to Skye, because congratulations, Skye.
It's unbelievable. All right, here's the runner-up, Tristan McManus. Who's he?
Not 100% sure.
Rove's cousin?
There you go. I know a celebrity.
Say hi to your cousin for me.
Well, that's unbelievable.
Hang on, let me Google him. Hang on, let me
if you could. All right, I'll move on while you Google it. We'll try and find who these celebrities are.
Yeah, he's an Irish. Okay. He's a television.
They're both from overseas, aren't they?
He's a television presenter, and he was on Dancing with the Stars.
Where? In Ireland?
No, in Australia.
Then put him on Irish, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Oh, well, that's a bit xenophobic.
Well, you're meant to be a celebrity that
Come
we know.
Come over here, taking our I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here jobs.
No, but I'm just saying, when you turn on, I want to see celebrities. Not, he's a celebrity in Mozambique.
Dits, or something. Let's be honest. We don't have that many.
Have we run out?
We've run out.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fair enough.
That'd be great.
Taylor Swift, who swept this nation, took it, you know, by storm, has released her new album and her new single. And I mention this because it is a record in the record industry. 300 million streams in the last couple of days.
Crazy. My daughter was counting down the hours until the release.
Yeah.
And the single called Fortnite, also the most streamed single ever. And we've just added to the numbers because we've just streamed and played it. Yeah, there you go.
Well done,
Taylor. Now, you said you've had a listen to this album. Is it any good?
I'm not a good judge on this sort of thing.
You're not that's a Swiftie, no then. Though.
Well, I'm just not a diehard Swiftie. It's not bad.
Okay.
But whatever the catnip is that people have sniffed, I'm immune to it, I think.
Right.
Doesn't mean I don't respect her. Anyway, please don't come for me.
Laura Rosie's just dedicated a wall in her bedroom.
A life-size poster of
Taylor Swift. She dragged me in there before bed last night and showed me what she'd done in preparation for this.
So excited.
Swifties are big.
Right. Okay.
They're on board.
Right. Hey, moving on now. F45, you would have read over the weekend, you might have read if you've seen the papers, that David Beckham is suing Mark Wahlberg for a lot of money.
Yeah.
Reckons he's owed $16 million, which to those people doesn't sound like a lot, but it is a lot. F45 has lost $582 million in the last 2 years.
Mm.
That's big dough.
Bloody hell.
But now you can add Greg Norman to the list. Now, Greg's in town, the Shark, this week. He is also suing because they used him as an ambassador. So there's a lot of celebrities lining up.
What are they suing
now.
For?
Because they were used as ambassadors, I think, haven't been paid. It's all about their shares as well, I believe. Promised shares that have now plummeted. There's all sorts of things going
Apparently, Beckham's saying that his shares that he was promised were withheld from him until stocks dropped. So he wasn't able to cash them out until it was too late. And
F45
then
is effed.
Sounds like
no doubt. And just finally, speaking of the Beckhams, Victoria Beckham had her birthday party over the weekend. All the Spice Girls turned up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a right bitch fest, wasn't it? David splashed out $480,000 on the party.
So the loss beer was cold. $16 million. He still had another half
he still
a
had enough to.
Yeah, well, he has to sue Wahlberg now to pay for the party. Yeah.
Wonder if that made her smile or not.
What?
So it wasn't a BYO.
You are
function.
In a shocker.
Come on.
She's lovely. Did you not watch the documentary?
No, she won me over in that doco, I must say.
Produced by themselves.
Sorry?
Produced by themselves.
That's right. It's self-made doco.
She did come out good in that one.
All right, that's our celebrity goss. I won't can anyone else, all right?
Port's biggest fan on the line right now, though, and Ditz's second cousin. Ditz loves when she rings in. Shazza Dittmer, how are you, Shazza? What happened to the beloved Power on the weekend, getting done by Collingwood?
Well, look, the game was a lot like my love life, Rupert. Started well with lots of passion and energy, lots of intimacy, good times. Ends up a complete disaster. No connection, no communication, no physicality, and the kids are all in tears. Look, it was just terrible.
Oh, it's not good, Chaz. Well, where did it go wrong for our mob?
I don't know, Diz, when we walked out onto the MCG?
Yeah, I think so.
Nah, look, our midfield just let us down and they got more smash than Loz at a fully catered function, you know, with an open bar.
Yeah, that's right.
Hinkley has no plan B. We played two rucks. We may as well have played one. I couldn't find my matches to torch the umpire's car after the game. I mean, everything went wrong. The whole thing was just an unmitigated disaster.
Well, what do you think about the call on resting Big Charlie Dixon?
Well, to be honest, Ru, we could have used him, but I do think you need to rest your older players from time to time, especially if they're all banged up and struggling. I mean, isn't that why you gave Cousin Ditz a week off last week?
That's right.
Freshen him up for the rest of the season.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah. All right, let's turn to the Crows, Shaz. On Friday night, their loss, were they robbed? You think Draper dived on the ball?
Oh, they were robbed, Ditz. They were robbed for sure. I know robberies. I'm on my way to do one. No, Draper jumped on that ball like it was his honeymoon bed. You couldn't believe it. He laid on that ball, Chris, like you lay in a creek bed.
Yeah, all right.
All right, Shazza. You reckon he dragged the ball in, though, do you?
Yeah, he hugged that ball like Andrew Jarman hugs a fresh bag of finger buns. Squeezed it tighter than you squeeze onto a winning ticket on race day. So back to the rebuild board for the Crows, I reckon.
All right. Hey, Shaz, just changing the subject. Have you seen our cardboard cutouts getting around the city? I mean, people, they're just getting publicity for us all over the joint to win this LIV Golf Prize.
I have, actually. Me and the kids saw it. We drew some mustaches on you all. Didn't have to draw one on Loz. She's got one naturally, but Maybe did some rude stuff to them as well. Bit of fun. But do you guys want some? I mean, you never asked me, Dits. I can get you some exposure. I can get you down to the, what am I got on today? I can get you down to the Yatla.
Yeah.
I got the magistrates on today, nice. You know. Yeah. There'd be cameras there for sure.
Yeah, I think we're okay, Shazzy. You just look after yourself. We'll catch you next week, eh?
All right. Count about.
See you, Shaz.
Technology and kids are just the biggest issue you have as a parent, nearly. Well, certainly one of the biggest ones, and it's pushing the friendship in our house at the moment. So they just get addicted to phones. We held off until they were 13, and as soon as they get into it, doesn't take them long, and they're just all over it, and it's just a disaster. So they're using them too late in their bedrooms, our kids. So we said, righto, phones have got to come out at 8:30, leave them in the lounge room. Just so you can go to bed, you know, not get distracted, not, you know, just you know, get wired so you can't go to sleep. So we did that. And then, of course, they snuck out and they were grabbing the phones later on, which, you know, two or three times that had happened. And, you know, that causes more friction and blah, blah, blah. And then Sarah decided to, for some reason, be a good idea putting them near my bedhead, so they couldn't sneak in and get him.
Right.
You know, this is the week that the kids are still at school and I'm on radio holidays and I'm in bed sound asleep. I don't know what was going on, but I was, while I was in bed early. Anyway, next to me, all of a sudden I hear, Joe, I'm coming to get you.
What?
Like in a real murdery, sort of scary.
Really?
What are you doing? I'm coming to get you. Yeah, stuff
no.
like that.
Cool.
And I'm waking up. This is 11:15.
You're having a nightmare.
Yeah, no, it was. And it was come from me, the phone. What the hell is this? So, and I assumed it was just the older son. It sounded exactly like my oldest boy, and I thought he was just stirring up Joe.
Yeah.
Anyway, it wasn't. It's one of my oldest boy's mates. Trying to stir up Joe.
Prank him.
Yeah, but it wasn't on the wasn't a phone call. It was, there's a new app that they can get called 1010.
Yeah.
And you don't have to call. It can just go straight through to the phone.
It's like a
what?
The phone didn't ring. It just started talking.
Just started talking.
Yeah, like in a real scary voice.
I'm kidding.
So we had this discussion anyway the next morning, and I was about to ring up this kid and give it to him.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And they go, if you do that, you're going to be the worst person ever.
Oh, no.
I said, well, what the F is he doing ringing you at 11:15?
But not even ringing, just sending it straight through.
Doing this, yeah. So we had a big argument about that. Anyway, this lad's a good lad, and I pick him up from time to time, but apparently he's cacking his tags for a few days. Oh. I was going to ring him.
So what, your son went to school the next day and told him, Dad heard that. You woke Dad up with that, and he's beside himself.
Yeah, exactly. And then I had to pick him up from footy training a couple of nights after.
Oh.
And then my son started hamming it up for a couple of days that I was going to apparently. But these kids.
So 10:10 is like, I guess, walkie-talkie lingo,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's just straight through.
10:4 good buddy or whatever.
Sound asleep in bed, and then I just hear, Joe, I'm coming to get you. And it kept going for like a minute. I'm like, what the hell are these kids up to? But, yeah, it doesn't matter what you do. They'll find a way to.
I'm going to get it. 10:10.
Yeah, try it out. Dits, I'm coming to get you. Okay. Well, the headlines yesterday were shark attack off West Beach again. We thought, no, not again. But then it's come out that just a family were out in a boat actually doing a little bit of shark fishing, and they caught a shark.
Yeah, they got one.
Yeah, one that was about 6 foot, an actual little baby white pointer, and they got it into the boat, and then it...
I was pretty worried that the shark wasn't going to let go and that I could see fat sort of on either side of its teeth from his leg. I was pretty scared, actually.
His father, Michael, using his bare hands to free his teenage son.
I reached in, grabbed its mouth, pulled its mouth open, and it let go. He let go of the shark and it fell into the water.
So it latched onto his son's leg.
Yeah.
In the boat.
Yeah. Look, I've done a lot of fishing and, you know, hunting's not the right word or whatever, but animals fake that they're dead. They do a lot. They do, I'm telling you.
They play dead.
They do. I've been shark fishing once before up in Queensland and we had a shark in the boat and we thought, right, perfect photo. And we're going to chuck a, what they call it a donger, but it's basically a little baseball bat. We're going to put it in its mouth to get its, to get its mouth over for a photo. And the bloke had it up, you know, straight up and down. And then all of a sudden the shark went, hum!
Oh my God.
I don't know how, the bloke would have lost his entire hand. Zero exaggeration. This was a big shark. They do it. And crabs do it. They can be sitting in a tub for ages. And then you think, oh, they're stuffed.
They're dead, dude. Yeah.
You go to get them. Come down to you like a buddy. Mm. They do. And they bite. They're little buggers.
Have you ever, I got bit once by a blue-tongued lizard. I was walking through my friends. They have a big property, really big, out in Paracombe. So big that we take walkie-talkies with us to contact her family if we need to.
Right.
And we're walking and I felt this thing on my, like, clamped down on my foot, and I'd stood on a stumpy tail or a blue tongue, can't remember.
Stiff.
And it had clamped onto my toes and shoe and it would not let go. Like, it wouldn't let go. And I couldn't take my shoe off because it had my toes pinched. So we had to contact Phil. Phil, we got an incident. He came down, and the thing about Phil is that he speaks English, but he speaks in such a thick Australian accent that only a few people really in his life fully know what it feels actually.
Well, what nationality is he?
No, he's Australian, but he bloody dog lord. Anyway, he got out of the car with a machete in his hand, and I went, am I losing my foot or what's going on? Like,
oh, you can't machete a blue tongue.
He just said, look away, look away. And I went, what? And he said, look away. And he just chopped its head off.
Because he couldn't get it off my foot.
And then even then he had to use a knife to unlock its jaw.
Gee.
Ruined my brand new ASICs. Blood everywhere.
A little bit over the top, Phil.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, we could not get this lizard off my foot.
You have to cut its bloody head off.
Yes, you do.
Lever its mouth open a little bit.
You can't because they lock jaw.
Ball dust.
And if you do that, you break its head. I'm not joking.
Well, I'd rather break its head than cut its head off.
Well, it was just a swift. If you break its head, it's like it's still alive while you do that. Yeah. With the chop, it's a clean death.
You're lucky to be here, Lodge.
I know.
We're talking about, when have you been bitten out there in the wild because the young fella, 16-year-old, got bitten by a shark. 1.8-metre shark would have been scary.
They would
be kicking around and thrashing around, and they got reasonable-sized teeth.
But they brought it up onto the boat. He wasn't swimming
out
in the ocean.
He's got a good story to tell for the rest of his life.
The old man, he's got an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. Mm. So they said they eat bronzies and hammerheads, actually. They go fishing and eat it, but to get a white point would be very unusual. But they probably got more than they bargained for.
What do you reckon Mum was like when they got back?
Oh, she would have been.
You're not taking these boys out, Chuck.
Never going again. I told you it was stupid. Shark fishing with an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old on the boat.
You can hear it now.
The bloody hell you think you are.
Well, I mean, she's not wrong, is she? I mean, no.
Dad probably said they were going wanton fishing.
Yeah.
That's what we do. Let's go to Enfield. G'day, Rob.
Good morning, guys. Hope you're well.
When have you been bitten, Rob?
Oh, it was a few years ago now, late 90s. I was serving in the Australian Army. We're up at Tennant Creek and we're trekking through the scrub.
Ooh.
And where we stopped, it's hot and having a breather. Everyone's completely stuffed. Everyone's quiet, whole group of us. And we're sitting on the ground and suddenly I'm screaming like a little girl, jump up, pulling my strides down, and I've been bitten right on the butt from this huge ant.
Rob, we're talking about a shark.
Not a dingo.
You've been bitten by a bully.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
reckon the ocean's a bit safer than being out in the bush. All those ants are terrible.
Yeah, they do get you.
A bull ant.
Rob, that's not a good start of the week for you.
How did he pass the test to get into the Army?
Was he in the Army?
Oh, they'll protect us from all the bloody everywhere.
All right, Karen at Clearview, what were you bitten by?
Oh, good morning. I was actually bitten on the behind by an ostrich.
An ostrich? How did it sneak up on you?
Well, we were trying to get a photo. We were in South Africa not long ago and trying to get a photo with the ostrich in the background, as you do. And it just came straight up and pecked me on the butt.
They're scary ostriches.
They are huge.
Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely massive animals. What I was worried about was my new jacket. I thought, if that bloody thing put a hole in my new jacket.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. They're like dinosaurs, ostriches.
They are from that era, aren't they?
They're prehistoric. They've got that energy.
They're about 8-9 foot tall.
They're bloody big.
I think they get bigger. They're massive, bigger
much bigger than our emus, then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, emus are sort of pale in comparison. But, ostrich,
surprisingly big heads, too, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And their eyes, they look you right in the eye.
And if you, I don't reckon you could outrun one, no way.
No.
Oh,
you'd have
no,
to duck on a tree. Like, you'd be on.
The only saving grace is that they're comical when they run. Yeah. You know, otherwise they'd just be terrifying.
So you just laugh at them.
If you put the Benny Hill music on when they run. You're not laughing when you're getting
chased by one. Ostrich goes, not so funny now.
Let's go to Pennington. G'day, Dave. What have you been bitten by?
Yeah, g'day, guys. Loz. Yeah, a parente lizard, mate. I was living in Darwin about 20-plus years ago.
What's that? What's a parente lizard?
Oh, like a small version of a goanna, basically.
Okay.
Oh, a small goanna.
Well, a small goanna, sort of, but yeah, it's still good size. Anyway, so I was living in Darwin. The missus, ex-missus rings me up, tells me there's a lizard in the bathtub. I'm at work, so I don't think too much about it. She's a bit of a panic merchant, doesn't like spiders, that sort of stuff. I think it's just a little gecko. So, so I get home and go into the bathroom, have a look, and this thing's probably 2.5 foot long.
Yeah. Yeah.
The hell am I going to do with this, and how did the bloody thing get there in the first place?
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got to get it out of there. She's screaming and carrying on. Anyway, so I think, oh, well, I'll just grab a bloody thing. So I've sort of reached down my hand, grabbed it sort of behind the neck. This thing's had it sort of, I must have a three-jointed neck. It swung around and bit me on the hand. I'm not going to let go of the bloody thing, so I got a hold of it. I carried it outside and said, what the hell am I going to do with the bloody thing now? I took a hold of my hand. So, bugger this, so I launched it over the fence and it let go as I launched it. So,
you threw it over the neighbours.
Their problem now.
It's Kevin's problem now.
You can't throw it in the neighbours, probably.
Oh, that's
Dave.
Funny.
Miles at Colonel Eye Gardens, what happened to you?
Hey, guys. Grew up in Perth and was bloodworming out on the Swan River. And
bloodworming? What do you go bloodworming for? Is that to go fishing after or...?
Yeah. So when the tide comes up, you go out and you get a few fish out there on the jetty. But we're out there in the mud and getting a bit close to the reeds. And then all of a sudden, it was in spring, I saw this feathered missile come flying out of the
black swan. Missile?
Black swan.
Out of it. And I'm stuck at my knees. I've fallen on my back and it's put his neck straight down and got me right on the left agate.
What was it?
A black swan.
He bit you
on the dingleberry.
You joking?
Cut me on the left agate.
No!
Not good.
That's incredible.
Wow.
The left
he
one.
He went for your balls.
He
played dirty this one.
Yeah.
You know where it hurts.
Yeah.
Let's go to Woodcroft. Michael, what have you been bitten by?
Guys, it's not going to be a surprise. Same thing. Thanks to the River Torrens, I was in year four doing a school exchange program thing and... yeah, this black swan just didn't really like me and bit me in exactly the same place. I can't remember whether it was the left or the right, but yeah, they're savage. Just watch
What's
out for them.
What's the issue with swans?
Swans,
gee whiz. They go for the ghoulies.
That's called being goosed, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know, but
I think so.
The fact that they go straight for the most vulnerable region.
That's right.
Smart.
They're clever animals, aren't they?
Let's go to Salisbury. G'day, Stuart. What have you been bitten by?
Morning, gang. I got bit by a black snake. Many years ago, I was in the police and we were involved in a manhunt for a bloke who had been on the run for several years. He was wanted for a couple of counts of murder, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Anyway, my partner and I had been out there for about 11 hours. The tactical blokes turned up and we were traversing around the far side of the house. Imagine this house was in the middle of all state forest, so to speak. Tactical blokes in front of me. He's walked past this snake as I've come up behind him. The snake's latched onto my boot, and a bit like Loz, he actually had to cut the snake's head off to get it off my boot.
See?
And I'm jumping around. He's this big, tough copper, and I'm jumping around like a girl.
Well, yeah, you've got a snake
face
on
off,
your
going,
foot.
Get it off, get it off. Yeah, it didn't pierce the boot, luckily. But I can tell you now, I do not like reptiles at all.
Yeah. Did you get the murderer?
We actually got him a few days later. He's very well known. I won't mention his name, but he was wanted for two counts of murder. He'd been on the run for 7 years at the time. So
7 years. Wow. Was it his snake? Did he release it to sort of
he probably trained the bloody thing to crack at me.
All right, well done, geez.
White Caucasian male.
Yeah, look. Yeah.
Last seen with a red-bellied snake.
It's his pet. He's called it Kevin. Look out for
former Detective Sergeant Stewart there on the line.
Who are we giving the prize to?
Look, there are so many good ones.
Yeah, let's give it to Karen.
Karen!
Bitten by an ostrich.
On the bum.
Yeah, on the bum.
Yeah, she can Karen. Have $150 worth of Dasher and Fisher gin.
Oh,
well done.
Oh, nice.
Sports Card World, the specialists in sports cards and trading card games. Sports Card World, Region Arcade, Rundle Mall.
Triple M Breakfast with Lou Dits and Loz.
What a goal!
Overnight Sports.
So we're inside 10 seconds. Ball bobbling around. Walker tried to take him on. Ball bubbles out. Fogarty's in there. Essendon over it. Umpire looks.
What a win.
Essendon win.
What a win.
They've won their last seven against Adelaide.
Rue, ruckman Sam Draper, Bombers ruckman, dives on the ball. We all know what happened. I think most of us know now. The AFL has basically admitted the umpire should have paid a free kick for holding the ball. Mm. Does that help when the AFL admit it? And like, do you feel better or does it not change
anything?
It
doesn't make any difference to me or anyone, really. I mean, look, it's better that they admit it, I suppose, but it doesn't take anything away from it. Adelaide shouldn't have been in that position because they played so poorly in the first quarter and a half. But at the end of the day, you'd still prefer to win.
Yep.
But they still had to kick the goal, and there's heaps of other free kicks. The umpiring on Friday night in general was all over the shop. So certainly for me, I'm not even too worried about that last bit. I'm more concerned about what happened in the first quarter and a half and why they're in the situation they were in. Their effort is not up to it. It's not consistent enough for long enough. And if Essendon were a decent side, they would have put Adelaide away in the first quarter and a half. But they didn't. They left the door open. Jordan Dawson played an amazing last two and a half quarters and got them back into the game. But the damage was done early in a big game on Friday night football, and they'll need to review that today and work out why they're not playing anywhere near their best.
Fair enough. Let's hear from the coach, Matty Nix.
Yeah, last couple of minutes we managed to get the game on our terms. I thought we were really aggressive and assertive towards the end, but too late, unfortunately. I thought we looked slow and reactive early. Credit to Essendon, they were sharp early. But we were off, which we'll look into. So being on the back foot, you know, scrapping through a half of footy, we thought we could reset at the break, but it wasn't to be.
Crows now travel to Hobart to take on North Melbourne on Saturday afternoon. All right, let's turn our attention to Port Adelaide.
5-4, 3 seconds left. The siren's coming. Big win here for Collingwood. Side bottom on the left. There's your siren. And too good in the end, the Magpies. Enjoy the song, Pies fans, you're back in town.
There's some numbers that were pretty easy to see if you look at the numbers. And that number, those numbers pretty much work into work rate and contest. I think that would be fair. I'm not going to hide from it. Collingwood were much better at turning up more reliably, more consistently, and in the contest they were more predictable. They were playing aggressive and they continued to play aggressive, but what they did when they played aggressive was continue to turn up, and that makes it much easier for them to play their style of football, which is pretty powerful when they're here and going.
Rue, it's a game that left me stunned. It was so good. Led by 31 points, kicking goals from everywhere, and I thought, wow, how amazing is this effort? And then all of a sudden it was so bad.
It was a 73-point turnaround, and in three quarters of football they got absolutely smashed. There's a common trait with Port Adelaide and a majority of big games, not all big games, a majority of them, they get absolutely smashed in contested ball. And I can't remember what the stat was on the weekend, but it was something like minus 40-odd, which is incredible. So until they sort that out, there's always going to be a big question mark over Port Adelaide in big games.
Well, if you remember last year, there was a knock on Port Adelaide not beating any of the top sides. Remember everyone kept saying, oh, they haven't beaten anyone in the top eight. Well, what's happened so far is they've beaten four ordinary teams, as it turns out. And when they've had to play Melbourne and Collingwood, they haven't been able to get it done. And I know, and that's me as a Port supporter. That might sound really negative and bad, but I'm just being honest. And that's what they need to address right now, don't they?
Maybe that's where they're at.
Well, you've got to beat the best. You can't just beat all the bottom cellar dwellers.
Well, that's what everyone's trying to do. And it's another thing to get it done. So they got St Kilda Friday night. St Kilda were horrible on the weekend as well. So Friday night football at Adelaide Oval. Anzac Day will be a big game for Port.
Yeah, well, indeed. Round six wrapped up yesterday. Sydney easily beat Gold Coast. Hawthorn thrashed North Melbourne. Geelong are top of the ladder. Can you believe it? No one gave them a hope.
Well, most people had them outside of the eight.
I know.
Me included.
Yeah. And in other news, Toby Green Green a one-game suspension for a bump that he laid on the weekend.
Jesse Hogan out as well. So a couple of big names out for GWS.
That's our look at sport. All thanks to Sports Card World in Region Arcade, Rundle Mall. Speaking of sport, now you can listen to the footy anywhere you go. Just download the Listener app. Shazza, not too far away. It's Rooted to Lance for your Monday morning.
Now, this is a person we haven't heard from in a while. And I've missed him a little bit. I don't know about you.
He just randomly rings in and we don't hear him for a long time sometimes.
Sometimes it goes a little too long. We've got Chris, the world's most boring man on the line. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Yes, very good, thank you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Have you been away?
I have. Do you know, about 2 weeks ago, Mark, a list was released about the world's 100 most boring attractions.
Oh.
And this sparked my interest. I thought, right. I'm going to go around and tick these off one at a time.
Okay.
Sounds now, exciting.
Now, inside the top 20 of the world's most boring attractions was a museum in Western Australia
called the
Boola Bardup Museum.
Oh.
And so I've been to visit. Let me tell you about some of the attractions.
Please do.
You can have dinner next to the skeleton of the blue whale.
Ooh.
There's a code breakers tour, part scavenger hunt, part escape. There are challenging puzzles. I didn't partake in this tour, though.
Oh, why not?
Well, you needed four people, and I couldn't find three other people to do it with me.
Chris, that's made me really sad.
Yeah, there's a collection of historical artifacts celebrating the music of the Gregorian brothers Slava and Leonard.
Oh.
Hang on. If you're into your sport, there's a lock of hair from boxing champion Les Darcy on display.
Les.
I found a bamboo hybrid stringed instrument called a dantre, donated by Vietnamese refugees.
Wow.
Now, all of that happened on day one.
Whoa!
How long did you stay there for?
Oh, many days.
Many days. Well, yeah. Now, Chris, you said that you couldn't find four people to help you, but what about your girlfriend? You could have brought her.
No.
Why not?
What happened?
Well, at the recent Lucendale Easter Field Days, Esme not only won the most outstanding scones, but she won the best tart as well.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the publicity, it went to her head and she ran off with the wood chopper. And, I will continue getting through this list of the 100 most boring attractions in the world, and I'll call again soon.
Please do.
All right. Don't worry. I think you'd be better off without Esme. Okay.
Yeah, she sounds like she's a bit much for you.
Yeah. See ya.
See ya.
The world's most boring man.
Along. Autocam, real-time video from Automasters. Triple M's Rumour Mill, Adelaide's most listened to segment. Hear it every day at 7:40 on Roo, Dits and Loz.
Now, something that happened quite a few years ago now, Pizza Hut. Now, I don't know if you remember this, Roo and Loz, but they closed their restaurants but kept operating and it was just purely a delivery or, you know, takeaway delivery service. McDonald's are heading down the same path.
What?
Mm. Now, they're not going to close their restaurants, so don't panic. If you've got your existing McDonald's in your area, you love it, it will continue. What they're looking for, and I know for a fact there are developers looking for sites right now, they will have McDonald's outlets that won't be restaurants.
Just drive through?
Just purely drive through. And they're looking for sites all over Australia right now.
Who so still goes
just
in?
Just don't eat in.
Yeah.
Not obviously. Many.
Well, it's also, as you know, Roo, the cost of it. So staffing, you know, rent, you know, buying the land or whatever, all of those things.
Shutting down again over the weekend.
So they're going to make it a lot simpler and a lot more cost effective by purely doing drive-through
McDonald's. Drive-through or Uber Eats, I suppose.
Yeah. So there'll be no sit down inside.
McDonald's doesn't travel well, McDonald's. So you eat, you know, going through the drive-through is fine, eating in restaurant, but getting it delivered, it's by the time it gets to your house, it's not the same.
Really?
Yeah, it's gone cold.
So when you drive through, though, what do? Go and park on the side of the road?
Yeah. You're absolutely parking.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you're just parking and eating in the car park.
Okay. Yeah. Well, why don't you go inside then?
Because why would you want to go inside when you can just sit in your car and listen to your radio station and, you know, in the warmth
of
your car?
People, feed, income, sit and park and eat.
Through. You just don't know. I mean, you could go to any. No, you don't know. And it, look, and it's actually really good that you don't know. It's good that you don't. But I've seen, I mean, you go to any fast food joint at like 11 a.m. on a weekday, and it's just tradies who are having their lunch. Just people, they go through the drive-thru, they sit in their car, and they have their food, and then
yeah,
they go.
I can sort of understand that, I suppose.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not like on the run, I'm not. Fine. I'm not going in every day and doing that sort of thing, but I have seen it in the past.
Anyway, that's so a bit of a shift for McDonald's in the way they're going to look at their restaurants moving forward.
It is interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
We went with Live Like Roo Ditz and Loz with the cardboard cutouts. They've been getting out and about. They've been everywhere over the last couple of weeks. They went up on a private jet.
Yes.
Last week.
We're at the top of the entertainment centre. Yeah. We were on stage at the Gov. We've been
everywhere.
Adelaide Oval. They got us onto the Oval.
Yeah.
They're
at a Peter Kittle Toyota. They're Drummond Golf.
We're in an ambulance.
What?
Right.
Yes, we were in an ambulance.
It's appropriate. Yeah.
Yep.
Did we need to get resuscitated?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was mostly me. You guys were okay.
It has been absolutely everywhere. And they were down at Morpheus at the races on the weekend.
Nicole Searle here, the winning trainer of Sir Kingsford. But you've got some company, Nicole.
Yeah, I listen to him every morning, so it's good to see him here.
Triple M breakfast team, Mark Rusciuto, Chris Dipmar and Loz in the middle. And Elliot behind them, who's hoping to get overseas on a Live golf trip.
Yeah, well done. Thanks, Terry, for the plug there. But that's what we want, people to get out and about. And if you've seen them out and about, text on 0488 51 0047.
Up next, we're going to be talking to the challenge winner from over the weekend. He's going to be, or she's going to be, much closer to going off to the UK. We're going to give him some bonus points.
Right.
It's Live Like Roo, Ditz and Loz, all thanks to Live Golf Adelaide, happening April 26th to 28th. Tickets at livegolf.com. It's Roo, Ditz and Loz for your Monday morning. Triple M.
Triple M's Live with Roo, Ditz and Loz. To live like Roo, Ditz and Loz.
I just wanted...
And score one of three awesome Live Golf prizes. Live Golf Adelaide, April 26 to 28. Tickets at livegolf.com.
Yeah, Roo, Ditz and Loz here. Now, our cardboard cutouts have been just about everywhere over the last week or two.
Yeah, they've been out and about, largely thanks to, or partly, to Elliot from Machunga. G'day, Elliot.
Morning, guys. How are you?
God, you sound tired. You've been a busy boy.
Nah, I'm not too tired. I've been enjoying this one. It's good fun. So, but yeah, busy weekend. Yeah.
Tell us where you've taken the cardboard cutout.
Well, Friday we had the footy. That was a bit of a difficult one, but we got there, got it in.
They weren't. I spoke to the guards when I went in there, and they said you were trying to get in, and they weren't keen to let you in. I said, "Come on, let
them." Why wouldn't they let you in? What's wrong with having a cardboard cutout? What'd they say?
That's what I would have thought. Well, they just didn't want anything to do with it. I mean,
fair enough, to be like honest. You know, do you just let people in? Like, you're there to guard the venue, you know?
It's not a knife.
It's not a knife, but you could whack someone over their head with it, you know?
But people bring all sorts of signs in, don't they?
Yeah, you should have made out it was you're in the cheer squad.
Yeah, well, you got on the oval with Tomo there and got a photo with him, which got sent.
On the oval?
Yeah, you got on the actual physical oval, effort. So you got there in the end.
And on the big screen, so it was good.
Oh, you're on the big screen.
Right, well
done.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Where else?
And then Saturday, I went to the zoo in the morning, went down to Morphettville.
Was that you at the races?
That was me at the races.
Oh, well done.
Again, got it on TV, so that was good.
You did.
Fantastic.
Terry McCullough.
You got a passport?
I do have a passport. Couple of days to go.
Well, the word is you have raced up the leaderboard. We know you're in the top few anyway, so that's good news.
And we've decided to give you, listen, I understand this point system as much as anyone. I'm not 100% sure what this means, but we're giving you 8,500 bonus points.
Ooh.
For what you achieved on the weekend.
Wow. Nice.
Now, there is a new challenge today. Basically, want as many people as we can seeing these out and about, so we want foot traffic today. So anywhere where there's a lot of foot traffic, think Rundle Mall, think AFL Max, Beach House, Shopping Centre, things like that.
Victoria Square.
You can get as many selfies with this with this cutout as possible. Yes.
Okay.
Just a lot of people. We want just max exposure. So that can be you today, Elliot.
All right.
But
well done, Elliot. Yeah, great stuff. Hey, and just a reminder, I don't want to confuse everyone here, but the other thing we're doing is the putt-off. If you want to play in the Pro-Am, all right, this is a big ticket item. You're playing the Pro-Am Wednesday with the world's best golfers. Text us through your golf club and your handicap, and we're going to have a putt-off on, tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
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 Yep, you could head along to the Pro-Am, and you could head along to Live Golf here in Adelaide just for letting us know where you've seen Roo, Dits and Loz out in the wild. It's Triple M. Good morning.
8.56 it is, Roo, Dits and Loz here on Triple M.
Almost time to go, but we've got Sue from Forestville on the line. Sue, what can we do for you?
Hi, how you going?
Good, Sue.
Now, you've seen us out and about with the cardboard cutout, Sue.
Yes, I did. I saw you up at Kaipo today, up at the tree climb.
Hey, where is it? In Kaipo, did you say?
Yeah, up at the new tree climb.
What's that like up there? I heard people went there the other day. Is it good?
Yeah, it's good. It's great fun for the kids.
Yeah, I've seen them up there.
Do they have lots of people there?
Yes.
Didn't you go up the tree by the sounds of it? So you just sat and had a coffee, did you?
I went up the tree.
Oh, did you?
Just get scared with the heights?
Well, once you're up there, you've got to get down. So
yeah.
Oh, it's bloody scary.
Well, Sue, for calling in and letting us know where you saw our cardboard cutout, we're going to send you off to Live Golf this weekend with a double.
Nice, Sue.
Nice. Well
How
done.
How good's that?
Thank you.
Do you play, Sue?
No, I don't, but my family do.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to be very popular.
All right, good on you, Sue. That's how easy it is. Look out for the cardboard cutouts out and around town.
Well, that is it for today. Enjoy what a beautiful day we have here in Adelaide. 25 degrees today, and we got Tex Walker tomorrow.
Yeah, on the back of the Draper incident right at the end of the game on the weekend. What will Tex have to say about it? He'll join us tomorrow.